Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Ainge and I take time and answer questions. And we're sort of backlogged. So we got a few to get to today. So, Angel, let's jump in.
All right. Joe, I've always heard that we have been made righteous, but I'm still struggling with what that really means. Can you help me with this?
Yes. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. So when we go to the Father, we say something, we present ourselves. That's why the Bible says that you and I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. What does that mean? Well, mercy. Nobody deserves mercy. It's a free gift. That the blind man on the side of the road, that time Jesus was walking by, he heard the healing guy was coming. So he starts to yell, "Mercy, Son of David, have mercy." He didn't say, "Eyeballs, Lord, I need some eyeballs." He looked for mercy, and that stopped Jesus in his tracks. Mercy is a wonderful thing. God's mercy is new every day. So we've been forgiven. We can run boldly to the throne of grace every day. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. There's nobody that's not sinned. There's nobody that'll never sin again. We're humans. We're going to make mistakes. So that's my answer to that question. Sure, you want to jump in and give a comment on that?
Well, I think that sometimes we in the church world get our own language.
Yep.
That a lot of people don't necessarily, it doesn't translate to our modern English language quite so well. So, I mean, I think another way to say it is that we walk in forgiveness.
Yes.
We walk clean before God.
Yes.
When we, you know, that doesn't mean that we don't daily have to ask for forgiveness, Amen. Daily repent. And keep ourselves, you know, right before God. But I think when we accept that as we've made him the Lord of our life, our Savior, that we can walk clean knowing that God has forgiven us, that we don't carry every weight that we've carried in the past. You know, somebody was telling a story one time and they said back thousands of years ago when someone would murder somebody, they would tie the murdered person to their back. And as the body would begin to decay, you would be carrying that sin that you had committed.
Yep.
And it would be decaying on your back and it would bleed into your own body and everything, which sounds terrible, but
that wouldn't make a good movie. Nobody buy a ticket,
but we don't, because of Jesus, we don't have to carry that. We've sinned, we've asked God to forgive us. We are a new creature. Old things are gone. Thank God we can walk.
You know, the Apostle Peter is asking Jesus one time, "Well, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? You mean like 7 times a day?" And Jesus said, "Oh, no, 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 no." He said, "Well, I don't think so. No, it'd be like 70 times 7. He said, "What? Yeah, how about 490 a day? Oh my God, you got to be in." So, no, we walk in that grace, that forgiveness, like God has forgiven us everything, every day, every morning we get up, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We run boldly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. We can run right up under God's armpits. We got it made. I mean, getting born again is so huge. We still haven't got to the bottom of the depths of it. God loves us, sent his son to die for us, hung on the cross for us, raised the dead for us, and he's at the right hand as our attorney praying for us right now. So don't ever let anything mess. Don't let your past mess with you. Our past is done. It's under the blood. I used to tell people, you go to heaven, there's a book, and all the sins I've ever committed are in this book. And the Bible says, I'll give an account of every idle deed, every idle thought, every idle action. It's all recorded. But when you get to heaven, you open that book up, those pages should be soaked in blood. You can't read them. Why? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. When I messed up, I repented quick. Somebody sinned against me, I forgave quick. You don't let something stick to you. The Christian life is an amazing thing. Now, I know people mess with that sometimes, preaching on grace and mercy. But it's still true. God is a gracious, loving, forgiving God. But it's by the blood of his son, not what we did. We can't earn that. Jesus earned it for us. So it's all about Jesus. Jesus before, during, after. It's all Jesus. So it's a great thing.
And it doesn't mean that you're not tempted.
No.
I mean, there's sometimes I'll be driving in the car and someone will make me tempted to get in the flesh.
You got to be kidding. I have never seen that. That's amazing.
Or spend an afternoon at the DMV. That will also get you in the flesh.
Woo! That'll mess with you.
But it just means that as we continue to grow in our Christianity,
grow in our relationship,
grow in our relationship with Christ, that we're trying to obtain a walk with God that is better than it was, moving towards something better than today for tomorrow.
Well, I've heard some people say, well, I mean, I can just sin all the time. No, that is not what it means.
No, not at all.
It means if you do fall, you can spit the dirt out of your mouth, get right back up, put your hand on the plow, start moving again. Doesn't mean you don't mess up. We still got flesh. The body and the spirit, soul and body, we're a three-part being. So our spirit's going to live forever. It's born again. Our soul's the process of being born again. We're renewing our mind every day. And one day we'll get a new body. The body we have now, this flesh, the Bible says is damned. It's no good. It's going to die one day. It's getting older. It's going to get wrinkled and crinkled. But we get a new body. So that's going to be redeemed. So in the meantime, we got three people. We're kind of deep. We have a three-person board meeting every day. You make a decision. My spirit will always go with God. My body will never go with God. And my soul casts a deciding vote. So every time it's like, you need to be feeding on and reading the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's where your strength comes from. You need your spirit and your soul to get in agreement, make your flesh shut its mouth. Be quiet, flesh. We're going to do this. So you get to outvote it 2-1.
It's a lifelong process.
It is.
And it's a wonderful journey.
Yes, it is.
I honestly cannot imagine life without God.
No.
Without knowing Jesus and without having the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, I know before we got born again and spirit filled, you get thinking, well, I don't have time for religion. It's going to mess my life up. I'm enjoying my life. No, you're not. You just think you are. And once you get born again, once you get filled with the spirit, once you get in a good local church, sitting with the saints and hanging out with other people, you realize you're not the only person on this planet. Other people have challenges and temptations and sins and stuff like that. We're just normal. We're a normal people that learn how to get back up every day. That's what we're doing. We're growing, like Angel said, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, what we're doing. It's an incredible journey. It's an incredible journey.
It is. I didn't have too much time to think about that I don't want to become religious since I was all of 7 years old. But
well, some of us did it later.
It has been a fantastic journey. All right, Joe, my kids are now in college and out of the house.
Ooh, praise God.
I always find myself being anxious about whether they're making the right choices. I don't want to smother them, but how can I continue to parent at such a distance?
Pray. Simple answer. I can spend hours on it, but you're supposed to pray for them. Pray for everybody. Pray for those in authority. Pray for your children. You pray for your in-laws. You pray for your neighbor. You pray for the good guys, the bad guys. You pray without ceasing, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had really sinned more than anybody. He was a professional hitman. Paul killed Christians for a living. He got paid by the Sanhedrin to hunt down and kill Christians. That's what he was doing when Jesus knocked him off that donkey that day and blinded him for 3 days. God loves people who have some grit, and Paul had it. So that guy that was an assassin for all those years became the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The guy that, you know, got the closest to God of anybody we've ever known. I mean, it's an amazing journey. So you can't let that past stuff hold you.
Well, my son went to college. I was a single mother, and he went 15 minutes away from where we were living. And I cried like he moved to another country.
Yeah.
I was like seriously carrying boxes and going, how do people do this? You know? And he would come home every weekend, and I did his laundry still. So it wasn't far, but it felt like very far away because we were all, being a single mother, the three of us had become extremely close. And not to mention that summer, the Toy Story 3 came out. And I never realized that movie, there was a single mother until the third one. And it was the year that he was going to go off to college. And it was our whole scenario. We had just gone to see that the week before. And we don't say a word. We're walking out to the car, all three of us. And then we all three just burst into tears. So that's what happens when you have creative children, if those of you who don't know.
Well, what you have to understand is God loves your child more than you'll ever be able to love your child.
That is true. But I was going to say, when my son went off to college, he started doing praise and worship for the school. Yeah. And during the summers, he would travel a lot. And I can remember one time he was on a month-long tour throughout the southeastern part of the United States. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I said to my daughter, something's wrong. Something is wrong with Sumner. And I don't know what it is, but I've got to get in touch with him. So I'm spending all morning trying to get in touch with him. He's way out in a remote camp somewhere. I finally had to call the camp director. Finally said, somehow, could you get a message to my son? I need him to call me. he has to climb up on this mountain because he's out at some campground somewhere. And he has to call me because it's the only place that they had he could get cell service. So he climbs up there and he goes, Mom, what is it? What is it? And I said, I don't know, but I know something's wrong. You tell me what it is. And he kind of hesitated a little bit. And I said, I will be there tonight. And so me and my daughter got in the car and we drove for 8 hours and made it to Georgia. Got in. As soon as I saw him, I knew something wasn't right. And as soon as the service was over, he said, can I go with you? And I said, well, I got work tomorrow. I got to go back. But I could tell I had to change that I needed to be with him. And so I was, and spent the next 24 hours with him, and then took him to the next location. And there was something wrong. Some things had happened in the group that were very life-changing for him. That some people that he thought were his friends, he discovered that they weren't.
Yeah, and, buddy. It was
a very, very emotional, very difficult time for him. But I was, through prayer and through the listening to the Spirit, I woke up and I knew, hey, something's wrong. Yeah. I can't control it. I can't be there every moment as he becomes an adult, but I can listen to that. So I would just encourage you as a mother, the Holy Spirit really gives you a special love for your parent, for your children. Yeah. And I'll tell you, there's more times than that I can't even count that has happened to me, that I knew. They were nowhere near me, but I knew something wasn't right. Yeah. And so I would just really encourage you to listen, like Joe said, to pray. And it is a transition when you and your children are changing your relationship from I have a lot of,
they're becoming adults.
Yes. I had a lot of, you know, covering for you, but now as you're becoming an adult, then you have to take a stand as a child of God and a young man and a woman of God on your own. So.
And that will never change. I use this illustration. There'll be a day I'll be 90, my children will be 70, and they're probably going to call, hey, Dad, you got a minute? I'm going through some. So, son, what is it? You're going to listen, because it doesn't end when they turn 18.
No,
they do not become an adult at age 18. Whoever came with that number was a doofus. You're never an adult at age 18. You might be able to smoke, drink, drive a car, but you're not an adult yet. It's going to take time. It's a lifetime process. So be patient. Know that God loves your child more than you do, and he's watching them. There's so many angels, you can't count them around your child, and God can intervene. He might use you, might use somebody else. But you can always pray for your child. Father, I thank you. We pray the same thing all the time. Father, teach our children to fear you.
Why? Yes.
The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Surrender our children, Psalm 5:12, with divine favor. May people look at them with a good set of eyes. And Father, send godly friends. Proverbs 27:17. Bring godly friends to our children's life that will strike iron with them. So we pray that all the time. I've had those three things in my life. I mean, I prayed that for 45 years over my kids. And so God will watch over his word performance. So you got to roll your cares over to God. You can't carry it. You're not God, but you'll be an instrument of God. So pray for your kids, pray scripture, pray the word of God, and watch God do something great.
And Mom, I would encourage you to get busy, maybe volunteering at the church or something, because I'll tell you what, the spirit of heaviness can come on you. Woo! The devil would love to come in there and say, well, I've done my purpose. What now? And I had a real fight with that. I thought emptiness is something serious. It's not a joke.
No, it's not.
I experienced and I didn't do very well.
The busier you are, the happier you will be. So just get busy doing something.
Absolutely.
It's a great
decision. Giving to others. Or give some mother advice to those young mothers out there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot you can do.
Yes, you can.
Your days, the best ones are still yet ahead
of you. That's right. Your best days are in front of you, not behind you. So don't ever let the devil mess with you on that.
Yes, that is true.
Crazy.
All right, Joe, I feel like my heart keeps getting broken. I don't know how to trust again. How can I recover?
Well, welcome to the adult world. they make TV programs about stuff like that. They sell movies about people that had their heart broken, disappointed. Welcome to planet Earth. The Bible says Satan is the current god of this planet. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan is the god of planet Earth. And I've had people, because I'm a minister, I was an engineer for 12 years, then I became a minister. Family, big family, they came out of the woodwork and they called, why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? I said, God's not in charge. You don't understand. God gave this planet to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. Now Satan's in charge. So John 10:10, the Bible says the devil steals, he kills, he destroys. Who's in charge? A thief, a murderer, and a liar. He's in charge. Yeah. That's why prisons are full and orphanages are full. It's a mess. Hospitals are full. Hell hates everybody.
Yeah.
And so we're on an alien planet, but because we've been born again, we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear son. So we're behind enemy lines, but we've got the armor of God, Ephesians 6, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, sword of the spirit. We've been armored to participate in the last days on this planet. What are we doing? Well, we're seeking and saving the lost. We're kicking doors in. Jesus said, you know, right before he went to the cross, he asked Peter, said, who do people say that I am? I said, well, Lord, they're not sure. They think you're a former dead person's come back. He said, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? So Peter said, you're the man. You're the Christ. You're the one I've been waiting on. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And based on the fact you know who I am and why I'm here, based on that fact alone, I'm going to build a church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So I tell Chris, what are you looking for? You're not hiding for hell. You're not hiding from anything. You're looking for it. You're looking to find somebody to save and lay hands on and be a blessing and feed the hungry and give water to the thirsty, visit people in prison, help an orphan, help a widow. We're here to be the light and salt of this planet. Man, we have a full-time job. We'll never be laid off. It is the greatest time of human history to be alive. There's never been a greater moment in history to be alive than right now. So I'm thankful that, you know, anytime we got 8 kids between us, I'm glad we're here. I'm glad our kids are here. Best time to get married, best time to have a baby, best time to start a new career. It is the greatest time of human history. And so you just kind of relax, enjoy the process.
Well, I have had my heart broken before. I've been divorced, and it is a rejection.
It's a real thing.
And it is, you know, you know, you're not so quick to put your hand towards the fire once it's been burned. But
it's not funny, but it is. Because we're sitting here in this example of that today.
Yeah.
I lost my wife. She lost her husband. Like, what is it? Well, God's got a wacky sense of humor. God can have the strangest thing happen. You know, you're going to meet somebody you never dreamed you'd meet, marry somebody you never dreamed you'd marry. God loves to restore and redeem. God loves to make the devil pay back 7 times what he stole. So it's never a hopeless situation. Yeah, we go through tests and trials and bumps and stuff. Everybody goes through that. But God will never leave us nor forsake us. Never.
Well, and I think at some point you have to ask yourself, love is risky. Is it worth? Is it worth the chance? And I can tell you, it is. It is definitely worth it.
You can't make somebody love you. And we do marriage seminars all the time. Ace and I say, we tell them, guys, you cannot make your spouse love you. No, that's a trick of the devil. All you can do is love yourself. Mm-hmm. So you work on loving you. And once you love you enough, it'll be easy for somebody else to love you. But if you're always manipulating and tricking and scolding and correcting and griping and complaining, nobody's going to love you. They don't want to be near you.
And I would encourage you to not look at the past, but look to the future.
Ooh, that's good.
Because the past will keep you right there in the past.
Devil wants to bury you in your past. I used to, when I taught parents, I said, listen, guys, you cannot go a half a second into your past. There's nothing back there except the devil. God's mercy is new in the morning. God's in your future. God's mercy is brand new every morning you get up, not in your past. Do not get into your past in conversation and your thought, well, what could I have done? I should have done it better. If I could only done this, if I only done that, but I could only go back. You can't go back. You can't change it. So let's go forward. That's what Jesus did with those 12 disciples. He's grappling about them every day. Oh, ye have little faith. Oh, ye have little faith. Guys, let's go forward. Quit. Yes. Get out of your past. Let's go forward.
Yes.
So it's a great thing.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We love our Mondays and being with you. And we love your questions, so continue to send them, please.
Yes.
Hey, we were just in a brand new church in Huntsville, Alabama. If you've never had Joe, I will tell you, it's a lot of fun. He did a parenting weekend there, and we had a lot of fun. Great people.
Awesome.
So talk to your pastor. Just send us a request, and we would love to come.
God bless
you.
So
we love you guys. Thanks for everything. Have a great week.
Have a good one. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.